A man visited the doctor one day and he was in excruciating pain. The doctor said, well, where does it hurt? He said, Doc, all over. There is not a part of me that does not hurt. He said, well, let's see. He said, touch your shoulder. The man touched his shoulder. Ah! He said, whoa. Touch your thigh. He touched his thigh. Ah! He said, touch your forehead. He touched his forehead. Oh, my head! Doc said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Touch your toe. He went to touch his toe. Oh! Doc! Everywhere I touch, I hurt. The doctor examined him and said, you idiot. You got a dislocated finger. I'm going somewhere. He thought everything else was wrong but the right thing. There was only one thing wrong, but it felt like everything was wrong. A lot of us here today feel like everything is wrong. My life is wrong. My marriage is wrong. My job is wrong. My money is funny. Everything is wrong. Could it be that everything's not wrong, it's one thing wrong? It just feels like everything is wrong. Far too many of us are living purposeless lives. We're existing, we're going through the motions, we're fulfilling the routine. But if the truth were known, our lives are very decaffeinated, stagnant, going nowhere. And you always see the symptoms of it. It shows up in the divorce rate because you try to get two empty people trying to live together, and all you've done is multiplied emptiness. It shows up in the suicide rate, where people just throw in the towel. It shows up in the discouragement, depression rate. It shows up as people seek to camouflage their emptiness through varying addictions. It shows up as we work to climb the ladder of success. And when we reach what we thought was the top, we discover it was leaning against the wrong wall. You see, a successful life is not a life whereby you measure what you have done compared to what someone else has done. A successful life is where you measure what you have done compared to what you were supposed to do. So many people spend so much of their lives trying to be somebody else, only indicating they don't know who they are supposed to be. Marketing is making a mint on giving us somebody else's jersey to wear. Somebody else's number to wear, some other star that I want to get close to, because you have not yet discovered you are a star in your own right. You have your own jersey number. And the problem with that is that you find this emptiness among Christians as much as you find it among non-Christians, people who say, I know God. I've met Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. And yet I've got a hole so big in me you could drive a Mack truck through it. What is this dislocated finger? What is the reason why all the talking, all the preaching, all the Bible reading, all the studying is still not making folk better? What's the cause? You can go to a bookstore and there are books galore to tell you who you are. Because everybody's got an idea about who you're supposed to be. Well, you have two options: speculation or revelation. You can keep going, bouncing around, find out what you think, they think, y'all think, we think, and get opinions which come a dime a dozen. Or you can say, forget all this. God, what do you have to say? What's the bottom line of why I am here? I told you some time back when my son Anthony was small and I bought him a bicycle for Christmas. And it came with this manual about how to put it together. And I was finishing my doctorate degree. I mean, I had studied 12 years since high school. I was a smart brother. It had all these nuts and bolts and all these parts. I don't need this book. I got too much edumacation. I don't need this book. So I went about speculating, using my human intelligence. 8 hours later, with just the handlebars on, Sister Evans came to the door and said, why don't you read the manual? Could it be, just maybe, the bicycle maker knows more about bicycle fixing than you do? Could it be the life maker knows more about life living than you do? When you went to school, one of the first things you learned was the alphabet, right? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You learned the alphabet. Why? Because everything else you would ever do depends on that information. If you don't get A through Z right, you can't read, you can't write correctly, you can't do phonics, so you can't speak correctly. What's the one thing you want to make sure your kids learn? And that is to read, because everything else in life is built on 26 letters. You can't use the internet if you can't read. It all boils down from that. If that base isn't right, the structure you build on it can't stand. And most of our problem is related to a foundation that's not right. So let's get the fact. Can we get the foundation together today? Here it is. You were created for God's purpose. Now, I know that didn't sound deep. Stay with me. You were created for God's purpose. Now, let me say it another way. Maybe that'll help. You were not created for God to help you with your purpose. Yeah. They get a little deeper right there? You were created for God's purpose. You were not created so God could help you with your purpose. Yeah. That little flip that's very easy to do, trying to live out the American dream, has caused many of us and most of us to build our lives on the wrong foundation, which is why the doors and the windows don't fit. Because instead of us existing for God's purposes, we have got it backwards. And we want God to exist for ours. The Bible says Enoch walked with God, not God walked with Enoch. You hear it a lot of ways. God is my co-pilot. I'm the pilot. But God, I want you in the cockpit in case. So can we have a little Bible study? Turn your Bible, first scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. We're establishing the point that you were created for God's purpose. 1 Corinthians 8, 6 says, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we exist through him. Did you hear that? He's talking to Christians. He says, we have one God and we exist for him. And one Savior, Jesus Christ, and we exist through him. Yes. You exist for the purposes of God. The Bible doesn't open up with in the beginning you. The Bible opens up with, in the beginning, God. God has created you for him. Let's look at another passage. The passage that was read in your hearing, Colossians chapter 1. Let me read verse 16 and 17. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers and authorities. All things have been created by him. What's the last two words? Talk to me. Let me hear. What's the last two words? They were created by him, for him. Not by him for you. By him for him. And it goes on to say, and he is before all things, that is the foundation of all things, and in him all things hold what? Together. See, somebody read it, but you didn't catch it. It says, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Let's put this together. You've been created by him. You've been created for him. He is before anything else. And by virtue of that positioning, all things hold together. Now, if you are unraveling, see, somebody didn't catch that. Let's start again. All things were created by him, and all things were created for him, and he is in the front of everything, and by virtue of him being before all things are held together. If you can't hold your life together, if your world is unraveling and falling apart, it's because the positioning isn't straight. He has to be before all things in order for the things he's before to be held together. Why isn't he holding more of us together? Because he's not before all things. He's in addition to all things. He's after I've done my thing. He's when I get finished, what I want to do, then I can get around to him. Well, go ahead and hold it together yourself. He will only hold it together if his positioning is right. God has been placed in most of our lives out of position. And because of the false positioning, things are unraveling. Let's look at another scripture. He goes on to say, and look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things upon the earth, in him. We also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to, what's that say? I didn't hear you. What's that say? You have been predestined to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. He did not predestine you. He did not elect you. He did not save you so that he could bless your purpose. He saved you so that he could, through you, fulfill his purpose. But look at our prayers. Bless me in this. Bless me in that. Look at so many sermons you hear today. Bless me here. Bless me there. Now don't get me wrong. God does want to bless you, but in line with his purpose, not in line with your desire, unless your desire is also his purpose. If you're living outside of God's purpose, you're living outside of God's power. You're living outside of God's provision. You're living outside of experiencing God's reality because you're living outside of this foundational starting point. And you thought your head was hurting. Your leg was hurting. Your knee was hurting. Your foot was hurting. No, it was just a dislocated priority. Let me show you another scripture. That's Romans 11. Romans 11. This sums it up. Romans 11, verse 33. Let me start at 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how unfathomable are his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? Here it is. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Now, he doesn't leave room for you there. He said, from him, through him, and to him are most things. I just want to see if you're looking at your Bible. Are all things. Your life was created and you were redeemed for the purpose of having a group of people on earth who would live for his purposes. You can go out in the street and find folk who go to church. You can go out in the street and find folk who listen to Christian radio, Christian television, go to Christian bookstores. You can go out in the street and find people who say a prayer a day to keep the devil away. You can go out in the street and find people who got a Bible sitting on that coffee table. God didn't predestine you for that. Those are just things along the way. He predestined you that he would have somebody with your name who would fulfill his purpose in your life. Acts chapter 13, I love this verse. Acts 13, 36, for David, after he had served the purposes of God, in his own generation, fell asleep. Oh, that's sweet. And David's called a man after God's own heart, because all David wanted to know was, God, what do you want? After David had served the purposes of God, had become the head of the company, had made so much money, had so many kids. No. After he had fulfilled what God put him here to do,
yes.
It doesn't say he died, it says he fell asleep. What a good way to leave here.
Yes.
You know how it is when you go to bed at night, you fall off. You don't want to come to your deathbed with stuff undone. After he had finished the purposes of God, he fell asleep. Then it's time to die. And you don't mind dying because there's nothing left undone. You did what you were supposed to do. Is the point clear? God created you and redeemed you, recreated you for his purpose. His purpose. If your life does not exist for his purpose, if God for you is a vending machine, and you go to the vending machine and you decide what you want, put in your coins, push the button so you can get what you want. And for so many of us, that's the problem with this bless me movement. Not because God doesn't want to bless you, he does want to bless you for his purpose. But we got a vending machine, God. Now, God, this is what I want. Now, in order to make sure you give me what I want, I'm going to put some coins in church. I'm going to come visit you every once and again. I'm going to do that. Just make sure when I push the button, what I want comes out. That's using God for your purposes. And the reason why you may not know your purpose is he's not going to show his purpose to somebody who's not going to do his purpose. How many times have you told your kid, when you told them what you want, then they come back and tell you what they want? You told them, I don't care what you want. This is what I want. Last time I checked, I pay the bills. Last time I checked, mine and yours. God is creator. We need to start treating him like a creator. When David served the purposes of God, then he was ready to die. You know, there used to be a time when men believed that the sun and the planets revolved around the earth. Well, way back in the first century, that the earth was the center of all things and the sun and the planet revolved around the earth. Then we discovered through science, Copernicus, that no. The sun is the center of all things. And the earth revolves around the sun. What a lot of us have done philosophically and psychologically is what they used to do in astronomy. We got it wrong. We've got God revolving around us. He's here to serve me. He's here to fix me. He's here to make me happy. He's here to address my agenda. God, that's why you're here. And you hear when people talk, they say, I don't believe God wants me here. I don't believe God wants. No. Let God say what he wants. He's a big boy. He can speak for himself. And so his point is that we were made for God. Now, listen to me. No product defines itself. I can't go to my toaster and say, toaster, what you here for? I can't go to my refrigerator and say, fridge, talk to me. What you here for? My appliances, your appliances, were defined by the manufacturer, not by the appliance. The created thing never defines itself. The inventor, the creator, makes the definition. If you try to keep stuff cold in the toaster, you're going to be in a bad situation. If you're looking for bread to pop up in the refrigerator, you're in for a bad situation. If you want food cooked by the can opener, you're in a bad situation because you got things operating outside of their purpose. Suppose the toaster said, I don't feel like toast. I don't feel like bread popping up and down in me all day, every day. No. I want to keep food cold. You would have to say, that's not what you're here for. And if you try it, you're going to fail at it because that's not what you made for. The Creator, when He put you together, gave you maximum capacity to make bread taste good. Yeah. And that's all He wants you for. The moment you step out of your created role, it's going to be disaster. Because not only won't you do what you want to do, you won't even do what you were made to do right. Because you'll be distracted doing something else. Many of us, for most of our lives, have been doing something else. We've been doing our agenda. So God is not going to keep stuff from unraveling for your purpose. When you were created for His purpose. We have a lot of ladies who've missed God's purpose because you have forsaken your biblical role to satisfy your corporate dream. We have a lot of men who've missed their purpose because they've forsaken their biblical role to satisfy their own personal desires. We got folk naming the name of Jesus Christ who are plotless. They watch Seinfeld. That's the way we got this joke in our family. You know, my son-in-law loves Seinfeld, and Seinfeld was the number one show for a long time, and they took this survey and said, well, why do so many people like Seinfeld? And it came back, because it has no plot. Yeah. It just meanders from episode to episode. Whatever. Plotless, so plotless people loved it. How many of you like Seinfeld? Oh, you don't want to raise your hand now, man. If you don't have a clue, it's because God is not at home with you yet. Because He's not sure whether you're going to use this for you or Him. But there's nothing like having your purpose. Getting up in the morning knowing why you're here. I'm running out of time. Amen. Well, guess what? Everybody in here running out of time. So don't look at me crazy. You're running out of time too. Man. We run out of time. You know, time is marching on. So it's time to get at it. It's time to say to the living God, okay, I surrender. Stick them up. I'm up. No more vending machine, God. No more, God, bless me whether I'm into what you want or not. When a woman has a baby, she must adjust. Everything adjusts. Her sleep time adjusts because there's a new life there. Her planning time adjusts because there's a new life there. New life means adjustment. You can't experience this new life with no adjustment. And now I'm not talking about a program. I'm talking about a perspective now. I'm talking about my life exists for Him. His life does not exist for me. But the good news is, when my life exists for Him, His life exists for me. See, it's not a loss there, as I'll show you in just a second. When a person finds out the dreaded news that they have cancer, that's a bad situation. And the reason why is because cancer wants to take over. That's the problem with cancer. Cancer wouldn't be so bad if it would just show up and stay still. But the problem with cancer is it not only wants to show up, it wants to show up and take over. Dominate. A lot of us have a God who we don't mind showing up as long as he's not trying to take over. Look, God, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to do you a favor because you all right with me. So here's what we're going to do. On Sunday morning, you got two big ones. You got two big hours on Sunday morning because I know, you know, I can't make it without you. You ever watch these award shows? Ever watch these award shows? Like, and then you get these rappers. They come up to the mic and say, I want to thank God for blessing me with this talent. Yeah. And then you listen to their music. Yeah. And you want to know, what is the relationship between the God who you thanked and the music you wrote? I was talking to a well-known entertainer a couple of weeks ago. And we were going over this point, and he said, I have not made the connection between the God I talk about and the comedy I write. Now, some of you may be saying, but well, I don't do that kind of stuff, but have you made the connection between the God you come visit and the place and priority that he has over life? He created you and me for him. Until you get that dislocation fixed, every other part of you will be in pain. So, that raises the question. The question is, well, if I do this, if I make my only reason for existence him, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. If I do this, does that mean I don't matter? No, it means for the first time in your life, you're gonna matter. Because God is going to make you matter. Turn to that well-known scripture, Romans 8:28. All things, somebody say all things. Turn to your neighbor, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, all things. Okay. How many things? How many things? One more time. How many things? All things. All means all, and that's all it all means? All things are working together for good to them that love God and are called to his purposes. Did you see that connection? You're saying, how come I can't see no good? Because maybe he hadn't seen you love him enough for his purposes. But if you love him enough for his purposes, he will take all things. That means good, bad, and ugly. Yes. He will take them, put them in his cosmic blender, and still cook a cake that tastes good. All things. Butter by itself, sugar by itself, flour by itself, nutmeg by itself. It's not what you want, but when you mix that stuff right, that thing will suck you out the bedroom into the kitchen. There's something about mixing those independent items that turns it into something powerful and tasty. You say, I got a butter life. I got a flour life. I got a sugar life. I got all this independent stuff. But God says when you are committed to his purposes, he'll mix it. And all things will work together for good. Because you're now his purposes. His purposes. Not my will, but thy will. I must decrease, you must increase. It's about you. Daily. You get up in the morning and you say, today, God, it's about you. It's about you today. You make that a daily mindset and watch him work. You know, on our products at home, we have warranties, right? Warranties. Warranties guarantees the product. You can get extended warranties. It's a guarantee that if there's a defect, a fault, a failure, that the manufacturer will stand behind the product. But all warranties have limitations. What that means is they will warranty the product for flaws in the manufacturing so that it doesn't work. But what they aren't warranting is the abuse of the product by you. You can't take your toaster, throw it up and against the wall, jump on it, stamp on it, and then say, but it's under warranty. You know? Because warranties are still assuming something. You're using it for its intended purpose. God's got a warranty on your life as long as you're using it for his purposes. Does your life seem out of warranty? You're praying and God won't show up? Because it's not about him. You exist for him. If a car on a train wants to go somewhere, it's got to be linked because the engine's up front. I don't care where that boxcar want to go. No hookup, no destination. And guess who decides where that car goes? The engine, not the boxcar. We want to go on our own track, but we don't have engine the first. And we wonder why we stuck on this same track. You got to get connected if you want to travel somewhere. But as long as you want to be your own engine, okay, let's see where you wind up. Somebody ought to be tired of purposeless living. You have more money than you ever had before, but you're emptier than you ever been before. You're on your fourth marriage, and that one ain't working out. You popping pills to camouflage the pain. His name was Victor Frankenstein. He's a Swiss scientist. He'd gone through some tragedy. And he wanted to take something lifeless and turn it into life. So he went to slaughterhouses, graveyards. He robbed coroner's offices. And he put together this lifeless, huge entity and named him after himself, Frankenstein. His goal was to take this monster or monstrosity and give it life. And he did it. He created Frankenstein, named after himself. This lifeless, dead entity became alive. It became electrically charged. It became a beast. We've all seen one make or remake of the movie Frankenstein. The Bride of Frankenstein. Frankenstein monster. You know the tragedy of Frankenstein? The tragedy of Frankenstein is after he was created, after his lifelessness was given life, after he was nothing and was made something, he turned on Victor and made Victor Frankenstein the victim of his independent life. God found you and me when we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. He created you, he found you, he shared the gospel with you, he saved you, and he gave you life. New life, eternal life. But what many of God's children have done is become Frankenstein Christians. We've turned on our Creator. And rather than living for him, because without him there'd be no life, we want to live on our own, and we turn against him. There's only one reason you're here. For his purposes. Until that becomes a life decision, not a Sunday morning walk down the aisle. Until that becomes a way you get up in the morning and the orientation, you'll have a great time for the next few years existing, never ever getting around to living. Now, right there where you are, if you are ready to live for his purposes, tell him. Just tell him that you want to live for his purposes and that you want to make his purpose your purpose, and that this will become a daily way